For KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves. Today, we have a wide range of choices when it comes to programming. No matter whether it's television, radio, or other forms of media, there's a lot to choose from. KASU gets a lot of its programming from NPR, which comes to the station through satellite feeds, which made me wonder, what was it like during the early days of KASU? How did KASU fill those hours of programming? Professor in the Department of Media at Arkansas State University, Dr. Mary Jackson Pitts, says, in the 1950s, many newly formed FM stations had a hard time finding programming.
That was the biggest issue anywhere in radio, was what would be programmed on these new frequencies that we had. And, you didn't want to program the same thing that you were programming on your AM station. You could simulcast if you wish, but that was not something that people really were thinking about. Educational radio, or what we might call alternative radio, certainly had its challenges on trying to figure out what kind of programming to offer.
Dr. Mary Jackson Pitts. And as you may remember from the last story, KASU did not broadcast 24 hours a day when it first started. Start off at 8 hours a day on weekdays and a couple of hours on Saturdays. Football and basketball games were also broadcast, which we'll discuss that later. By 1970, KASU broadcasted 6 days a week from noon to 10, and that increased a year later to broadcasting from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. In the 1980s, KASU would broadcast 24 hours a day. But I was curious about those early days and how the hours from noon to 8 p.m. were filled. As I learned, the students produced programs under the watchful eye of Charles Raspberry. He was director of broadcast operations at KASU and was a former station manager. He tells about some of the things that students would put on the air for KASU.
Most of the major concerts that the band and the choir and groups like that would do would be in the auditorium, which was right below us in Wilson Hall. And, of course, we had lines down there, and so we would broadcast a lot of local ASU stuff. So we broadcast concerts generally live, although sometimes we would record them on bulky reel-to-reel tape recorders, and then we would play them back later. And as we developed, by the way, sometimes we would feed those broadcasts to other stations, because as an FM station, of which there were very few in those days, most of the stations in Northeast Arkansas were AM stations. They simply picked up our signal from the air and could broadcast the program. So we did a lot of that. We did news. We did a lot of local news and things of that sort. So after a few years, we were able to join the old National Educational Radio Network. It wasn't called public radio in those days. But we would get some programming from them. It came via tape, and so we got a lot from them. So that gives you kind of an insight in what we were doing in those very early years.
One important part of programming that was a priority for then Arkansas State President Dr. Carl R. Ring was for basketball and football games to be originated for air on KASU through what was then known as the Indian Sports Network, and he says students helped in the broadcast of those games.
And primarily at the time, he was interested in our sports broadcasting. He wanted our football games in particular and our men's basketball games broadcast to the general public. And again, now there weren't many radio stations in those days. And while KBTM here in Jonesboro locally would do some, he wanted us to be able to produce those games and feed them to other stations, and thus get ASU before the general public. Only it wasn't ASU then, it was ASC. And at the same time, he said, well, if we have a radio station, we can teach radio journalism, as he called it. And that was really the impetus for that. And as you may know, for many, many years, KASU originated what in those days was called the Indian Sports Network and fed sports to stations throughout the state of Arkansas and some surrounding states. And that also was one of my jobs to see that got done.
The Indian Sports Network prospered in the 1960s. 9 stations were part of the network in 1961, but it grew to 20 stations by 1967. One of the stations that carried the Indian Sports Network was KTHS, a 50,000-watt AM station from Little Rock. The call letters for that station today is KAAY. Richard Carville remembers that when he was a senior at Arkansas State in the mid-1960s, he worked as part of the network broadcasting crew in producing home and away games.
Because I was a little old boy who grew up in a rural East Arkansas town, and we took annual vacations, and usually it was to where a sibling was living. So I got to see a part of the country, but I was very fortunate as a senior at Arkansas State to be selected for the network broadcasting crew, which meant that not only did I do help with the home games, usually as a student production person. They call me an engineer, but I was not an engineer. but we also went on the road, and I got to travel and see a lot of Texas and Louisiana and Oklahoma and Missouri, places that I had not seen. And I was very fortunate to get that opportunity.
Dr. Mary Jackson Pitts was a student at Arkansas State in 1979, and she says she was one of the news reporters for KASU. She remembers that students would run some music programs by selecting through a large record library, and she says news updates were important in those programs.
Those programs, there was jazz and there was classical music that were on most of those programs. There was news. I think we would break in like three times an hour with local, state, and national news. I can remember using a reel-to-reel machine. And honestly, Jonathan, right about where you're sitting, there used to be a reel-to-reel machine, and we would get news from, I think it was NPR, and we would pull that audio from the NPR feeds, and we would put them either on reel-to-reel or probably by the time I got it here, it was probably carts, kind of like an 8-track cart. Mm-hmm. And you would take those sound bites and you would pull together a newscast and you would read for maybe 10 minutes and have audio with that.
Dr. Mary Jackson Pitts. Now, on the next show, the many broadcasting firsts of KASU will be examined as we continue with our celebration of KASU's 60th anniversary. And for KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves.